Henry Ford actually made a statement about this. He said, you know, he who walks with God always reaches his destination.
Pastor Brett Metter assures God's word is the only true light to our path.
Instead of getting bogged down in the vain deceit and the philosophies and all the 12 steps and all that, what if we just said, Lord, I'm just going to get up every morning and walk with you. Do what your word says. And if I have sin, confess it and turn from it and just rely on the Holy Spirit to be in you, to empower you, to have that daily walk with Jesus that is pleasing to him.
Amos chapter 3 issues a clear challenge for believers to leave behind disobedience and pursue spiritual agreement with God. For only then can we experience true fellowship in our walk of faith with him. Continuing a new study series in Amos, Pastor Brett Metter draws a clear message from today's word that fellowship with God requires walking in harmony in his will.
Why don't you turn to the book of Amos? I've got a simple verse, a simple study, but a good reminder. It's here in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And so this question here, it brings a couple questions about what does a walk look like and how do we do it? In order to have a biblical walk with the Lord, you have to have, number one, a sanctified walk. And this is an important thing. The small little verse sort of causes me to ponder these things. What does a real Christian walk look like? Well, first of all, it's sanctified. Now again, sanctified is a Christianese word, but it means something fairly simple. It means to be set apart, separated from sin, but also separated unto God. If you're a sanctified person, you are set apart for God's purposes. And it implies a lot of things, being pure, holy, walking with the Lord is to live a life that is an acceptable offering set aside for the Lord. And that's what this walk needs to be, a sanctified walk. This idea of being set apart, being pure and holy. D.L. Moody, he made a simple but really important comment. He said, if I walk with the world, I cannot walk with God. And that's just true. It's one way or the other. If I walk with the world, I cannot walk with God. Now, some of you might say, okay, it's all right. I walk with God. I guess we need to do it sort of. Why should you want to walk with God? Well, this came very early in the Bible. It's Deuteronomy chapter 5 where the Lord says, here's what you get when you walk with me. And he says in Deuteronomy 5:30, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live and that it might be well with you and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Does that sound like some good stuff? Like the good repercussions of walking with the Lord. First of all, that you may live. That's speaking, I believe, of eternal life. But not only eternal life, but abundant life here and now, that it might be well with you. The Lord Jesus came and says, I've come not that you just, you know, have eternal life, that too, but life and life more abundantly. That's what the Lord wants. And then prolonging the days in the land which you shall possess, that means prosperity is what's talking about. The Lord says, man, if you walk with me, long life, eternal life, abundant life. Man, that's a good thing. So here in this little verse, we realize the first thing that a Christian needs, if they want to have a walk with the Lord, you need to be set apart. You've got to be careful to make sure and live that sanctified Christian life. And that brings us to point number two, not only a sanctified walk, but secondly, you need a submitted walk. That is where you submit to God. This is important because if you don't have a submitted walk, then you are not agreeing with God. There must be agreement if you are going to walk together with God. The effect, you will walk with him when you are in agreement. This doesn't mean, listen, that God will come over and agree with you. You and I have to go over to his side and agree with him. And that's where this submission comes in. And Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 kind of explains that. But this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. That's the key. We need to walk in his ways. And where do we have his commandments? Right here in his word. The Bible tells us what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. So if you want to have a walk with God, you just do what he says and submit yourself to him. It's so important. You know, old J. Vernon McGee, I remember as a teenager, I'd heard this guy on the radio and he's kind of this hick. And he'd say funny little, you know, things. And I was like, who is this guy? And I kind of just blew him off as a young man. And then one day I was in a bookstore And I was looking at this commentary series, and I was like, this is really cool. It was called Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And I got a used set of his volumes of commentaries, and I thought, man, Dr. McGee is a brilliant scholar. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then, you know, I realized it's the same dude I was listening to when I was young, the guy, the hick guy on the radio. If you read him, he sounds like a scholar. If you listen, he's the guy that said, you know, when the women in the 70s were saying, should women wear makeup? And he said, listen, if the barn needs painting, paint it. That's, you gotta love old J. Vernon. Well, anyways, I was reading Dr. J. Vernon McGee on this walking with the Lord and, you know, agreeing with the Lord. And I loved his comment, and I'll just show you what it is. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee. He said, God rides triumphantly in his own chariot. And if you don't want to get under the wheels of that chariot, you'd better get aboard and ride. After all, God is carrying through his purpose in the world. And man, that's true. God's purpose is going to be carried out in the world, no matter what you or I have to do with it. God's going to do what he's going to do. But it's true. We need to agree with God and get on board with God and his ways. You know, we live in a culture, by the way, that sort of thinks we can sort of balk against or fight against the authority. I'm amazed at seeing how many people are really bad at receiving correction or submitting and giving over to someone who's more in, you know, in authority than them. And it's no greater scene than in the relationship with God. You know, can I just challenge us as a church? Just plain old submit to God. Don't be stubborn. Don't be stupid. You know, when you're in rebellion, you're making yourself look bad. Do you remember when you were a junior higher? Sorry if you're a junior higher in here today or middle schooler. You can stop listening just for a second. But remember what a nerd you were in junior high? And you thought you had it dialed, man. You know, then 10, 20 years later, you look at pictures of yourself in junior high and you're like, what was I thinking? I was a weirdo. And that's what happens. But I wonder if someday we're all gonna stand before the Lord and think, man, we were just a bunch of weirdos being stubborn, fighting against God who knows all things. He created all things. He knows how you work. And yet we were stubborn and we just kind of kept dragging our heels instead of just jumping on board. And that's this idea of having a walk with God. It means submission, having a submitted heart toward the Lord. So, having a walk with God, first of all, you need to be sanctified, set apart. Dump the sinful stuff because sin separates you from God. The second thing you need to remember is to submit to God and submit to his word and just do what the Lord asks you to do and be simply submitted. That's important. But then the next part of this that the Bible tells us is to have a spiritual walk. You know, you might call it in the Bible language, carnal or fleshly. That is you and I trying to walk with God in our own flesh, in our own strength, the way the Bible puts that. But you need to have a spiritual walk. You and I cannot really walk with God in our flesh. We can't hang with the Lord when it comes to walking with God unless you have the Spirit. And that's why in Galatians, in talking about this, we come up with this phrase, the walking in the Spirit. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, by the way, do you see this is kind of a cart before the horse thing? If you're walking in the Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you won't be walking with the Lord, because we learned that in point one, being sanctified. So which one is it? Which one comes first? Do you walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust? Or do you walk in the Spirit and make sure, get rid of all the sin, and then you can walk in the Spirit? Which one? And the answer is yes. Some of you might be right now thinking, man, Brett, this is starting to make my head hurt, all this stuff I gotta do if I'm gonna walk with the Lord. But it does sound a little complex, but it's super, super easy, and I'll tell you why, because God helps you with this. And it's almost laughable to even say helps, because he does it all, really. Let's just say you're full of sin, and you don't have a walk with the Lord. What do you gotta do? Well, I gotta go home and clean up my act, I gotta go. Well, wait, that's kind of true, but did you know you can get up and walk out of here sanctified without even going home and dumping your stuff and getting rid of the junk? And how do you do that? It's confession. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you confess your sins, he, not you, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You are just one sincere confession away, which you could do right now in your heart, right before the Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for those things I've been doing and the attitude that I've been carrying and all those things. You just speak it out, you and the Lord, just quietly in your heart right now. And guess what? The Lord says, I'll not only forgive you, but I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He does all the work. And where did he do the work? You know, on the cross. Jesus already died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And the book of Hebrews tells us Jesus died once for all sin. He doesn't have any more to do. He did the work already. It's completed. He cried out on the cross, it is finished. And so the finished work of salvation and washing and cleansing, that's why for you to get point number one, to be sanctified, set apart, oh, the Lord made it so easy for you. Sanctified. Submission, just saying, Lord, I just want to submit. When I read it in your word, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to just do what your word says. I'm not going to be stubborn and kick against your word. That's not that hard to, you know, if you just look at it, see what it says, do it. And then the third thing here, having a spiritual walk, this is even better because walking in the Spirit means that you're being powered by the Spirit. The Spirit is power. And this is so important. You know, when you talk about this walking in the Spirit, you know, the dunamis, that's the power. The word dunamis is the Greek word where we get our word dynamite. And the church waited on the Holy Spirit that the Spirit, the dunamis, might come upon the church and give them power. So you might say, but Brett, I don't know if I have the willpower or the strength to really walk with the Lord and dump my sinful things. So that's where you have to walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here's what you do. You pray that sincere confession of your sins, but in the same sentence you can say, and also, Lord, will you fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit? What do you mean, Brett? We're just got to ask for the filling? Yep. You know, Jesus talked about this when he said, you fathers, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask? Good gifts? That's what one scripture says. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? That's pretty cool. All you got to do is ask, and the Holy Spirit will come in you and upon you. And that's how you can walk by the Spirit and not by your own flesh. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, in this walk that we have with the Lord, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. This is sort of matching what Amos is saying. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Here, 1 John, John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I just love that every time we talk about the walk, when you read about it, did you notice all these scriptures I'm giving you? There's walk, but there's also a connection to the forgiveness of sin and cleansing of sin and washing. That's where the walk is really found, is right there in that, just that forgiveness and in the light of Christ under the cross. That's where the walk is found. This light, I don't know about you guys, but these days we're living right now, I just am amazed at the darkness that we're seeing out there, but I'm so thankful that we as Christians get to be the bearers of the light that illuminate your path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love that we're children of the light, and all we have to do is walk in the light as he is in the light, and then we'll have fellowship one with another. Man, I love that. You know, this idea of being walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, having this kind of thing, what kind of help is that? Well, when you walk in the Spirit, it's not just about walking, but it's also about knowing where to go. It's interesting because, you know, this idea of having this walk, Henry Ford actually made a statement about this. He said, you know, he who walks with God always reaches his destination. He knows something about transportation, Henry Ford. But he made that comment about God. He who walks with God always reaches his destination. And that's the thing. I love the direction we get. Check this out. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. The Lord says to his people, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Man, the person that's walking with God and walking in the Spirit will have direction. Brother, are you suggesting that the Lord's going to whisper in your ear audibly a voice? Well, he can do that if he wants to. I think there's people that actually have heard audible voices from the Lord. But I also, in my experience, that's not really the way it happens. It's more of a sense of direction that the Lord gives you. It's almost like as you're trying to decide what to do and you're praying and seeking the Lord, if you're walking with the Lord, he's going to just give you a sense, this is the way, go this way, walk ye in it. This is the way, walk ye in it. And you'll just know when to turn right and when to turn left. When to go to this college or when to go to that college. When to quit your job, when to stay on. You know, the Lord just gives you sort of that direction, and it has to do with sort of a peace in your heart and a settling. And you just kind of go, even though this is not a very peaceful situation, I have a real peace about moving this direction. That's the way the Lord works it out for me. And it's never steered me wrong. So I love this. You know, we've got to have, number one, a sanctified walk. Number two, a submitted walk. Number three, a spiritual walk. But the final one, and again, this is important. I end with this one because some of you might be like, oh, this is so hard to do. No, confess your sins, ask for the Spirit to empower you, and walk with God. It's just a simple thing. And that's what I want to end with, just a simple walk. It's got to be a simple walk. You can't overcomplicate it. I think sometimes Christians, we're good. In fact, humanity's good at overcomplicating everything. And often in overcomplicating, we ruin what we're trying to do to begin with. Some of you with your New Year's resolution of losing weight this year, man, you went down to the store and you got those $200 walking shoes. And you outfitted your garage with the top of the, you know, line. You got your torturing devices, the bike with the TV, and you're ready to roll. You got your walking regimen, and you got your walking journal, and man, got to get the Fitbit. No, Apple Watch is better. Keep track of your steps and all this. And you just get all geared up. Have you ever done that, and then only to never work out ever, not even once? Nobody's going to admit that, but it's funny, we can overcomplicate things. How about just get up out of bed and go for a walk? Keep it simple. It's so funny, we can sort of spend so much time getting ready to do what we want to do, but sometimes, you know, somebody should come up with a slogan, something like, just do it, or something like that, because it's funny that they're the ones saying that. Just do it after you spend $200 on the shoes. But, you know, we can do the same thing with our walk with the Lord. Oh, if I can, I need to walk with the Lord, so I'm going to go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Sunday night, and I'm going to read my Bible every day and every morning, and you kind of put these pressures on yourself. But it's just a simple walk, you know, and a walk sometimes is just putting one foot in front of the other. We got to kind of keep it simple, I think. You know, you can almost freeze anything good that the Lord wants to do when you start, you know, over-planning and over-structuring your walk. Colossians chapter 2, I love this. It says this, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. How do you keep your walk going? The same way you were saved. And how were you saved? Was it you preparing and planning and structuring your life and doing? No. Remember, when you got saved, it was done. Jesus did the work on the cross. He already won the victory. All you had to do is accept it. In the same way, this passage, Paul writes to the church at Colossae and says, as you therefore received Christ Jesus, simplicity, easy, he did all the work. So walk in that simplicity is the idea. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving. Now he says, beware. He says, watch out for this. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that is Christ, dwells some of the fullness? No. In him dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. This beware there, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Oh, how many books have been written about your walk and how you're supposed to do this and that and 12 steps to this or that or 20 steps or, you know, I just believe it's a one-step program, the whole thing. Just a one-step program, and it's Jesus. Jesus is the answer that we need. Don't let people spoil your walk. It says, as you received Christ, so walk ye in him. The same simplicity that you were saved is the same simplicity. And I worry that we've become a culture that needs to have the next latest book written about how to overcome depression or how to overcome this or that or how to have victory over this and that. No, I think that we got to just walk away from that vain deceit and philosophy and traditions of men and rudiments of the world, but follow Christ, for in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I love that. Man, what an amazing thing. I love the simplicity of our faith. You know, it's as deep as you want to go theologically, but when it gets down to just being a saved Christian walking with Jesus, I think it's way simpler than people make it. But the problem is, instead of getting bogged down in the vain deceit and the philosophies and all the 12 steps and all that, what if we just said, Lord, I'm just gonna get up every morning and walk with you. Do what your word says. Let the Lord search my heart about my own sin so that I be sanctified, set apart. And if I have sin, confess it, repent and turn from it, and just rely on the Holy Spirit to be in you, to empower you, to have that daily walk with Jesus that is pleasing to him. And man, what a way to go. Karl Barth was an interesting guy if you study him. Died in the early 60s. But Karl Barth was a 20th century, maybe arguably one of the great Protestant theologians of the 20th century there in Germany. And he was one of the few guys that didn't get sort of sucked into the whole Nazi paranoia and weirdness. But he wrote volumes and volumes of information on theology. He had huge, massive works of theology. In the end of his days, toward the end of his life, some American scholars came over to sort of hang out with him and interview him about all of his brainiac theology and stuff. But all these American guys asked him and said, you know, wow, if you had to summarize all the work of your life, and what are some of the greatest things you've come to understand when it comes to theology? They were all kind of with bated breath going to hear Karl Barth, kind of comment on this. But the learned man charmed them by saying this. He said, here it is. And they all leaned in. He said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's what he said. And, you know, behind him is all his volumes of theology that he'd done and spent his whole life. But he said, this is it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, in the book of Amos, Amos is going to try to move from shepherding flocks and herds to trying to shepherd the children of Israel back to simplicity, back to the Lord, dump their sins and get back right with Jehovah, the God of the Jews, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're going to see that as we study this book. But this one little verse today, I hope it just sparks something in your heart to say, Lord, how's my walk? Have I kept my walk? Has it been sanctified? Have I been submitted? Is it a spiritual walk where I'm filled with the Spirit? And have I overcomplicated things with my walk and I need to keep it simple? Just ask yourself these questions. May the Lord give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church.
Pastor Breadmetter again illustrating how walking in true faith with God is a one-step program following Jesus, empowered by none other than the Holy Spirit. And there's much more to come in this new series in the book of Amos on Today's Word. Pastor Brett will conclude our time together in prayer in just a moment. But first, Today's Word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church in the Portland, Oregon area, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. We invite you to find out more about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek by going to todayswordradio.com. If you've missed any portion of this study, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. I also want to mention that in addition to the main Athey Creek campus in West Lynn, Oregon, we also have locations in Hillsboro and McMinnville. For more information, just go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link Locations. Again, todayswordradio.com and click the link Locations. Well, let's rejoin Pastor Brett Metter now for today's closing prayer.
Lord, I thank you so much for so great a salvation. Lord, you've done all the work for us to be saved, dying on the cross. Anyone who confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart, your son Jesus, is able to be saved by your grace through faith. Lord, what a beautiful and simple salvation. But I pray, Lord, that your church, that you'd find us those walking with you in that same simplicity. Lord, I pray that instead of making our faith look difficult and hard, I pray that the world might look at us and see that simplicity and that peace and that joy that comes from just a right walk with you, Lord. And so we pray that your church would have ears to hear what your Spirit says. Lord, bless these, your people. Anyone, Lord, who has yet to receive you personally, to accept you as Savior and Lord and confess their faith, that they believe that you died on the cross and that you rose from the grave, accepting that work that you've done and thereby being saved, being a Christian. Lord, apart from that, a walk is not even possible. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. Let your word just rule our hearts and our minds. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter here on Today's Word. And that's all the time we have. Next time, Pastor Brett will share the judgment of the Lord, first against several Gentile nations, Damascus and Gaza, and then Israel. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.